Korkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey everybody, what's up? It's Adam Hunter. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. We got two this week. Obviously, I'm in Vegas. We got the one with Rashad Evans, which was awesome, and Vince Pichel. Make sure you check that out. And this week, I am talking to Heather Jo Clark. She's got a fight coming up at Invicta, and I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, me and Heather are good friends, and she's training out in Colorado. And also, this very crazy man named Kenny Lester, who I met in Arizona, who's got a super grappling competition he's in, and Josh Barnett's in it as well. It's a crazy grappling competition. We're going to hear all about it. First, I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, if you live in California and you smoke marijuana or you do vapes or edibles or need CBD or anything you would do in that whole realm, you got to check out speedweed.com. They are the best. They have everything you need. They will deliver it right to you. You don't have to go to the dispensary and wait online and have to show them, you know, the whole thing, and you show your ID, and then you go there, you got to sign in. It's like a whole thing, and then you got to meet people, burn gas. It's a pain in the ass. Listen, you get pizza delivered, Chinese food. Well, now marijuana, and it'll save your time, and it's great. So go to speedweed.com, mention Roasted, you get $10 off orders $100 or more. Also, listen, people, sexual performance issues is way more common than you think. Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under the age of 40. 40% of men by the age of 40 struggle with not being able to get and maintain an erection. I hear my friends tell me all about it. It's not happened to me because my wife is super hot and I love her and I'm attracted to her. But shit goes down with other people. Maybe you, nothing to be embarrassed about. And guess what? Now, 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Yes, guys, we got this. It's well-known generic equivalent to name brand prescriptions to help you combat erectile dysfunction. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Why are you even doing that? You go to a gas station, fill your car up with gas. Don't fill your penis up with things behind. I mean, just you don't have to do that. Come on, people. Let's get smart. Go to 4hims.com. There's no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits, no lines. You can save hours by going to 4hims.com. Answer a few quick questions and chat with the doctor for confidential review. Products are shipped directly to your door. Severe ED isn't just a case for rich old men in bathtubs. It affects men in their 30s and 40s. Listen, it happens. Nothing to be ashamed about, but get yourself together. Go to 4hims.com. Check it out. You can try Hims for a month today for just $5. $5. Come on, people. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor for a pharmacy. So go to 4hims.com/MMAroastED. That's 4hims.com/MMAroastED. 4hims.com/MMAroastED. Now let's talk to Heather and see how she's doing. Hello.
Hi.
Heather Jo Clark, you're on the MMA Roasted podcast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Adam?
Good. It's good to hear your voice. We missed you here on the show, or at least I do. So.
There was actually a couple people saying they agree with you that they wanted me to come back and be on the show again.
I think you provided a voice of a lot of people, and I think you're funny. And now you're back in the fighting game, which is awesome. Talk to me. What, you're fighting in Invicta? When is this? Who are you fighting? What's going on?
I'm fighting in Invicta on July 21st. Okay. Against a Brazilian girl named Kimberly Noves. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. So
okay,
but it's something like that. Yeah, and she's 9-4. So she got a good record. You know, she's been in the game a long time, has some notable wins, you know, so Yeah, I'm up for the challenge. I'm excited. I think that, you know, I look the best when I'm fighting tough, skilled opponents. So, yeah, I'm looking to shine and shine bright.
Now, and where is this fight?
It's in Kansas City.
Nice. Good, good. All right. So, a lot's changed. So, it's very weird. So, here's what happened. On New Year's Eve, a year ago, actually, it might have been a year and a half, maybe a year. I think it was this year. I get a picture from you and my friend Connor. Okay, Connor Hewn.
It was Christmas, though, actually,
okay.
Not New Year's.
It was Christmas.
We met on Christmas. Well, we reconnected on Christmas.
Christmas. So Connor was.
It was Christmas Day. Christmas Day, yeah.
Connor was an old friend of mine. Oh, he used to coach wrestling. He was my old wrestling coach. We were, like, actually a really, really good friend of mine. And I see you guys, like, in bed together. And you sent me a picture.
No, it was not in bed together. We were, like, sitting by in the kitchen.
Maybe the way I looked at it, you guys were in bed together. Okay. And I'm like, okay, this is a joke. This is like, aha, you guys got me. Like, these, like, you know, it's like when you meet two friends from different parts of the world, you're like, wait, what's going on? And then he sent me the same picture. And he's not the kind of guy to do that. So I'm like, all right, this is weird. So 3 days later.
He did? He sent you the same picture?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
3 days later, you text me going, I'm madly in love. This is the greatest guy. This is my soulmate. And since then, you've been going strong.
Yeah.
How did this happen? What's going on?
Well, the short story is, you know, we knew each other back in the day at Jackson Winks. And Benny, where are you going? My dog's got a mind of his own. So we knew each other. Obviously, I had heard you talk about him so many times and about how great of a guy he is. And but he was married for a long time. And was with this other girl. So
like
every
months.
Time I was up in Colorado,
right.
When I wasn't, you know, with my ex-boyfriend, I always wanted to, you know, hit him up, but I was like, oh wait, he's in a relationship. So I never did. And then I was here for Christmas visiting my dad in Colorado, and I was on Bumble because I was actually thinking like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll move up here. I was looking for a new gym. You know, my coach had passed away in December. Just like a week, 10 days before that. Right. So
yeah.
I was pretty bummed out and I didn't really want to, I was like kind of isolating myself. I didn't want to go see my dad, even at his girlfriend's. Like I didn't even go there for Christmas. I was just like a wreck. I honestly was, I was just really down and out. And so then I was just like, oh shit, I'm bored. I'm going to go on Bumble and I'm going to see what kind of guys are out here in Denver.
Now,
you know?
Were you looking to get laid or are you looking to actually meet somebody?
No. I wasn't. Just looking for like a
it's
conversation.
Okay.
You know,
you're in your 40s. It's okay. You have needs.
I'm not in my 40s.
All right, go on.
You're actually older than me.
Okay.
Just to remind you when you try to say stuff about my age.
Right, go on.
You know, so I was just bored and I was looking for like someone to maybe go have coffee with or someone else that was like not with their, you know, family
right.
for Christmas. I don't know. I just really just was curious. So I went on, didn't really talk to anybody. And then I get an Instagram message from Connor like, hey, I saw you on Bumble. Didn't know you were in Colorado. Didn't know you were single. Want to hang out.
Right.
And I was like, I was just ecstatic. I was like, oh my God, wow, super cool. Like, I always thought he was, you know, really good looking guy and heard great things from you. And I was like, this is perfect. So we hung out on Christmas Eve. He came over to my brother's house and we went in the jacuzzi. And I was getting in the jacuzzi and he's like, what the heck? Why does this girl have my nickname tattooed on her back?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Right.
So that, I think that's when he knew it was meant to be.
You guys, you know, it's so funny because you guys are a lot different, but a lot alike. And like sometimes when you meet somebody, you have enough differences to make it work. Because I look at you and like you're this like soup. You have a huge, both of you have huge hearts. You have a huge heart, and both of you are
Thank
just
you.
Like nice people and good people at the core. But you're like a very neurotic Jewish, sweet, overbearing, like nervous.
Wow.
Fun, but like at the same time you fight, so you're not that neurotic. It's like you have all these, and then he is like this fucking wild man who is this like loner, but like popular, but does his own thing, but just, and you guys both have daddy issues, so I could see why it works.
No, you know, first of all, I think Connor's changed a lot, and over the years, you know, he's not that wild anymore. Like, he's very almost domesticated. Like, he works so much.
He's
he works like 45 hours. What?
Almost domesticated?
No, I don't say almost, like, almost in the full sense of the word. Like,
right.
He's not totally, like, he's still young and wants to enjoy himself and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, like, he's, you know, we don't have kids, but we have dogs. And, like, so we have those responsibilities and stuff.
Yeah.
And, but no, he's really, you know, he's great. He's not the wild man I think that I've heard stories about.
Yeah.
And I've obviously calmed down. And then our dogs, like, he's got a dog, a female, smaller than my dog named Bugsy. Mm. And then I got Benny, and they're like in love. These two are inseparable. It's so amazing.
Oh,
and they play so well together, and
well,
they
so
really bring out
good.
The best.
I mean, Connor used to coach wrestling together, and it was back when he had ACL surgery. I think I actually knew both of you guys after your ACL surgeries.
Yeah.
And he was so funny. Remember the time we were coaching together, and it was like a month into the season, and this little black kid shows up. We have a match. A little black kid shows up, and he's like, "I'm ready for the match." And I'm like, "I've never seen this guy before. Connor, have you ever seen this guy?" And he goes, "Not once." And then some other kid goes, "I don't think he goes to our school." Like, we have... That was, I mean, we have so many stories, me and Connor, and, but I genuinely love the guy, like, for real love the guy. And I remember one time we were driving to practice, I was going 150 miles an hour, and he looks at me, and I had a negative $900 in my account, and he was like, "Man, you're just like me." "You're just like me." And I love the guy, and I love you, so I think it's, I really am happy for both of you. I'm happy for both.
Thank
of you.
You.
And I think
well, we
good.
Both love you too, and
yeah.
Wish we lived closer.
Yes. Now I see your training videos. I know he's the 10th Planet guy, black belt under Eddie Bravo. Is he teaching you different jiu-jitsu looks?
Yeah. Well, you know, I go to the 10th Planet Boulder sometimes. Like, I was going there a little bit more before this camp. I've been spending a lot more time at Factory X and stuff, but yeah, I mean, he's shown me stuff, and Drew, the coach at 10th Planet Boulder. But you know, it's crazy because I started grappling when my nose was like healed and or was healing, and I started doing a lot of 10th Planet over with Eddie, and so I started trying to work my like rubber guard and working on my back more because one, we're just doing jiu-jitsu and it didn't matter.
Yeah.
So then like when I started this camp, I started like getting comfortable there, and I had one sparring where I was, let's just say I should have gotten up when I didn't. And mm-hmm. I got punished for it. And it was a big opening that like, you know, eye opener to say like, okay, maybe this one, I don't have it down. So let's not do this in MMA.
Yeah, well, what's the name?
Because it really, yeah. I suffered the consequences.
Well, that's what what's the name just said. The guy, the kid out of, you know, the guy who beat Vinny Magalish, who Colby Covington was in a Twitter war with, said he would tap. You know what I'm talking about.
Who?
The dude that, like, what's his name? I always forget his name, but he basically said, "Jiu-Jitsu guys, if you plan on fighting, make sure you start with wrestling and judo, otherwise you're going to get this shit beaten out of you." Because
right,
you know,
right, right.
And this is coming from a big time jiu-jitsu guy, the guy that Colby Covington called him out recently.
I haven't seen him called out anybody. I thought he was trying to get Tyron in there.
He is, but then Gary Tonin said this. He said,
okay.
"If you start with BJJ and have any inclination, I mean, in the future, better than wrestling and judo, it's starting in the same position. Otherwise, it's going to be a hell of a wake up call when your first intro to takedowns is while you're getting punched in the face." That's what he tweeted, which I actually agree with. That's the one thing I can't say about jiu-jitsu is that when we start going live and we go right on our like knees, and I'm like, but at the same time, it's a great way for wrestlers to get good on the ground by starting on your knees because you're taking
right.
away the takedowns. So.
Well, you don't spend you know half the round trying to get that takedown, but there's times where you need to work all standing too, you know.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of jiu-jitsu players forget that. Connor teaches a wrestling class at 10th Planet Boulder as well. So if you're listening, you want to get your wrestling better.
Yeah.
The guy.
Now I see that you've been training with Rose and Tisha, right?
Mm-hmm.
How's that going? Mm.
You know, it's great. It's when I feel like when I train with them, I have some of my best rounds and some of my worst rounds, because it's like when I'm really on, they bring the best out of me. Like I feel really sharp. It's like, I don't know, when you go with someone awkward or someone who's learning, or not learning, but rather just not as experienced, obviously, as those girls, it almost seems harder. So I don't know. I really enjoy training with them. It gives me a sense of where I am, I feel like, in my skill level or just in my mindset, because some days, you know, I'll have good days and sometimes I'll have bad days. But I really enjoy. I mean, Tisha and Rose both are just amazing people. I love them both and really enjoy just being around them. So anytime I can get training in with them is awesome, you know?
Now, there was a time that you were thinking about hanging it up, right? There was a time you were like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do and this and that. How hard was it to transition back into fighting? And was it an ego thing? Not that Invicta's bad, it's amazing, but going down from UFC back to Invicta?
Yeah, I mean, at first, yeah, you kind of think of it, you can think of it that way. But then I started thinking about it, Adam, and I was like, God, I've always wanted to fight for Invicta. Why? Because they've done something no one else has done in the sport. And this is like putting women in the forefront of MMA. And it's not that, you know, it's like the promotion is super high level. They put on amazing shows, amazing quality. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be able to say that I was able to fight for that organization and be a part of, you know, kind of this pioneer organization. So, you know, am I getting paid a little bit less? Yes. Am I getting, you know, a little bit less audience? Sure. But I'm still getting to put myself out there against high level opponents and on a professional level, and, you know, where people can watch it online. And so it, to me, I don't see it like that. It's like, it's still a really, really fantastic place to be. So I'm really honored to be there. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I truly feel that it's going to be a remarkable memory.
You also didn't have, you know, a lot of these guys that fight, you know, they have 15, 20 fights before the UFC. I mean, you had what, like
right.
seven or eight? I mean, it wasn't like you had this huge...
I think I had more than that. I don't know, maybe. I think I had 11, yeah.
You had 11 fights, but that's still not that much before you get to the UFC. Most fighters have more. More fights for the UFC.
And no, also, not women. I feel like, no, like saying, the women.
No, I'm saying fighters in general. I don't think I'm going to let that step back. And I also think that, you know, you if you go out there and murder this girl or have a great showing, the UFC is, you know, there aren't that many female fighters that they could call that they know are going to put on a good show. So you're basically one phone call away from getting back up to the big show. And you know what? I tell you, you know, on that Invicta card, you might have just as many fights that you would have on viewers if you would on like Fight Pass. Would you fight on Fight Pass?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It could be just as many, and like I've been really thankful. I posted like something saying, "Hey, anyone want to sponsor me?" So, something I haven't been able to do in a while. You know, not having banners or sponsors on the shorts or whatever. And I've already made some money. Like just some really great people reached out, and you know, would have never thought.
Right.
That,
that's true.
Yeah, it's really cool to be able to do that and get that support and just see like all the different walks of life of people like, hey, yeah, I'll put my logo on you. I just got a law firm from Florida that putting their logo on me.
You
so it's like,
me, text me what you're going to say. If you text me something, I'll post something for you saying you're looking for a sponsor. And I got, you know, 73,000 people. So some people will probably hit you up. Just text me what you want me to write. And I will do it.
Okay. Thanks, Adam. Yeah, that'd be great. You know, I think that it's an opportunity to shine and to really, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I'm trying to get mentally prepared for it in the sense of like, this is my first fight with this team, with this organization, without my coach, without my dad. My dad's gonna be the first fight in my career. My dad's not gonna be there.
Why?
So there's you know, the whole thing with my eye and the risk of it, which is such a small risk, but there's a risk, and he doesn't agree with it. He doesn't he doesn't want to be a part of it. Like, he's come and watched me spar, and he's come down to the gym, and we're still, you know, close, but he just doesn't want to be there and be a part of it. So that's going to be a little bit different.
But this is the guy that when you were 12, took you to a fight and told you to fight the girl and let her.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
And then started fighting the brother or the boyfriend. Yeah, I mean, and not only that, I mean, my dad is like, he comes over. This is the funniest thing. Thank God my coach has got a sense of humor. But he comes over to the gym to meet my coach and to see the gym for the first time. And he walks up to my coach. I'm already on the mat. And he's like, hey, I'm Heather. I'm Heather's dad. I just wanted to introduce myself and ask you a question. And Mark's like, sure, what's up? He's like, well, if we were, you know, to get in that cage and fight right now, like, what? How would you beat me? And Mark's answer was great. He said, the only way, you know, you're going to beat me is if you turn around and walk away right now, you know? And my dad's like, kind of like, and I don't know the real story because my dad gets a little cocky when he starts telling it and saying stuff like, oh, well, you don't know, I could have a, you know, 45 in my pocket right now. It's
God.
Like, you know, just, yeah, the Marine comes out and then he was just like, no, I need to know, you know, what are your weaknesses and what are your strengths because you're training my daughter and blah, blah, blah. Just like,
that's a good dad. But
I was so embarrassed.
You know what? They probably understand you a lot more though after they meet him. So that's
good. Well, it's true. And that's what, yeah. And Mark did, he was very understanding. He thought it was funny. He thought it was great. And I'm like, well, yeah, now you know where I get it from. So
funny.
Yeah, it's been funny. And, you know, my dad texts Connor like, hey, can you FaceTime me during the fight?
Tell him to show up. FaceTime him. Come on. Just get your dad a ticket. It's not that, from Colorado to Kansas City, it's a couple $100. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
No,
is Connor going to be in your corner?
It's all right. What?
Is Connor going to be cornering you?
Yeah, it's going to be Connor and Mark.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, if I was Connor, I'd be like, all right, if you don't beat this girl, no dick. Now, you realize, though, that she's going to be, you're going to be a Mark because
yeah, of course.
She's going to be like, this girl's been in the UFC. If I beat her, then I could beat UFC caliber fighters. I mean, she's really getting up for you. You're her, you know, her big, you know, Apollo
Creed. Her big opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, don't take this lightly.
Well, no, I don't take anyone lightly. I don't think she hasn't fought in like 6 months or whatever. She could be a completely different opponent. Connor's like, I just think I get frustrated when I look at this girl fight, you know, like don't you think you're just going to go in there and kill her? And I'm like, no, I'm expecting the best version of her. And I know also when she's fighting me and she's going to look good too because of that.
Right.
And I'm fighting the toughest girl I've ever fought. I never will underestimate anyone and their strength and you know, just by looking at their arm. I've done that slightly in the past. And no, I think this is gonna be her best fight.
Are we gonna let our hands go this fight? Finally.
What?
Are we gonna let our hands go? I mean, you got great hands. Are we gonna let them go?
Yes, I'm gonna let them go. I'm just gonna fight, Adam. I think the last two fights, I don't like to talk about the last one because I was blind for like most of the fight, but the fight before was like Carolina. I just got so emotional when things weren't going my way. When I wasn't, you know, dominating like I thought I was. And again, that was the kind of underestimating her a little bit of thinking I was going to go out there and just dominate her. And I mean, God, she was undefeated for a reason.
Yeah.
But my coaches gave me so much confidence. Robert Fallis, I've never had a coach believe in me like that. And he really just instilled so much confidence in me that I walked in that fight a little overconfident. So I learned my lesson, you know, broke my face and I lost the fight. So I definitely learned. I learned it hard and I learned it well. So I'm ready to go in there and yes, just fight like I used to. Go in there, have a game plan, know her tendencies. They could totally have changed by now. But just go in there and try to dominate, you know, dominate every position, and that's how I'm gonna win. You know, is like play my game, keep it at my pace, keep it at my rhythm, and put the fight where I want it when I want it, and just be really smart. Show that I have the experience of training with the best coaches in the world my whole career,
I can't
and
wait.
Training partners. You know.
Now, who's the main event on this card?
Jin Frey, and then I don't know, I forget the girl, but it's Adam Wade.
She's awesome. That, you know, her whole story, she's like a rocket scientist or something. She's like one of the smartest girls ever. And she's pretty hot. I mean, she's really hot, actually.
Yeah, she's very pretty.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. Listen, Heather, obviously, you know, you're Team Roasted. We're Team Heather. Can I get a shirt from you? How do I get a shirt?
Yes, you can. And then you'll be entered into a freaking awesome contest if you buy a shirt. So Strychnine website, you can go on there and you'll find it's like, I think it says like fighters or I forget something. You'll find it. You can go on there or you can go to my Instagram. There's a link to it as well on my bio. And shirts are $20.
$20.
It's a really cool shirt. All the proceeds go to Robert Fallis's family. And then, you know, it's just a little memento to support his legacy and then my, you know, Team Hurricane.
I love it.
The chance to support me, support him. And, it's a really cool, simple shirt. You know, there's a equation on the front in a heart right over the left, on the left side where your heart is. And it says C over T equals R. And that stands for consistency over time equals results. And that's something that Robert was very mindful about, and something that he put out there was, you know, if anything, and you're consistent with it, your results will show over time.
True.
So
that's so true.
Yeah.
Now, but you gotta
and
do
it's with everything, even bad things. So be consistent with the right thing.
And you got to do something crazy, though. Like, you got to get, like, what about if you win, when you win, you say, listen, Connor, I want to thank my coach and boyfriend, Connor. I'm going to give you the best blowjob you've ever gotten in like an hour. Like, if you say that, people will like retweet it and stuff. It'll be like a good, like, that would be awesome. He'd be happy. And who knows, it might lead to girls giving more blowjobs to people. So,
it's, you know who you sound like when you say that is Gene LaBelle. When I used to do the in cage like interviews after the fight, post fight interviews, he would tell me the most absurd things to say.
He would say a blowjob
in there. What?
Gene was tell you to give guys blowjobs? Judo Gene would say this?
No, but he would say stuff like, you should hit on the guy. You should ask him out. You should. One of the things was like, I've been to three all-night gas stations and two rodeos, and I had never seen a fight like that.
Yeah, he's right. I'm telling you, if you say, listen, Connor, get ready, I'm giving you the best blowjob ever. You're not going to last one round, or you're not going to last longer than my opponent. I'm telling you, it will get lots of people talking.
All right. If I get the knockout, Adam, I'll do it.
Yeah, oh, wow. Listen, fans, okay? Hashtag Heather Blows Connor, okay? So put that out there. If you're listening to the podcast.
I'll say if I get the knockout, I'll say you thought that was fast.
Yeah. Wait till Connor nuts all over my face later. So I'm telling you, people will start talking. You'll get the call right after UFC. You'll get three contracts that night from UFC, Bellator, and who knows, Lakers or something. So
yeah, but probably for the wrong reason.
Oh, whatever.
They won't be offering me contracts. No, I'm just kidding.
Probably a good point. Listen, well, thank you, Heather. You're the best. Can't wait to see your fight in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it. And I know you'll be watching, so I'll hear from you afterwards.
Definitely. Take care.
Bye.
So I'm talking to Kenny Lester right now. Kenny was a guy I met in Arizona, one of the craziest human beings I met in my life, one of the funniest people I met. How are you, Kenny?
Doing good. What's going on, guys?
It's just me. Things are good, man. Things are good. So when I met you, you were in Arizona and you were wrestling for University of Arizona, but you had been kicked off the team, or you were on the team, but you weren't, or you were ineligible. Like, what was your wrestling background? You were one of the best in the country in high school, right?
Yeah. So I came out in 2006 as the number one heavyweight recruit. Won the Ironman, won the Junior Nationals, yada yada, did the whole circuit. And when I got to Arizona State, a year after I got there, the program got dropped.
Oh.
And kind of during the shuffle, you know, a few guys transferred out. Colby Covington kind of signed with us. He actually wound up going up to Oregon State. We had another kid go to the University of Missouri. Another prospect, T. Edwards, he wound up transferring to Old Dominion. And I actually wound up working my way towards the football roster. I rode the bench with Jack Elway and Brock Osweiler till he got the starting spot, and he's been doing a fantastic job keeping paychecks in the NFL since then. But after that, you know, during that whole transition, kind of got into the whole affiliate marketing thing and whatnot, and started just concentrating more on, you know, limousine riding and jet flying than wrestling. But when you came back in town, Zeke had taken over the program. Things were getting back on track. And, you know, my people, the American Samoans, need me to step up. So got back to training.
Yeah, so that's what I was – so that was one of the funniest things. So at the time, you were in wrestling, and then you're like, you know what? You found out that you were 1/8 America Samoa, which I didn't even know what American Samoa was. I guess that's a small country. Where is this country?
It's an island about 8 hours away from Hawaii, basically the halfway point between Hawaii and Australia.
Right.
About a tenth of the size of Guam. That it's a U.S. territory, and you know, I think me and Rachel Dozell both got our DNA test on at the same spot. You know, things checked out, and I got to be Samoan for the Olympic cycle.
Yeah, so you found out that you were 1/8 America Samoan, so you started the wrestling program over there, and you were automatically on the Olympic team because there was no Olympic team. So you represented, right? Is that what happened?
Well, so we had to make it through the qualifiers. So I made it through the very deep Oceanic Championships.
How many people were there?
Taking on the great islands of Fiji, Tahiti, Tonga, Palau, Nauru, and a few Australians. And then we were at it. We were at the World Championships in Vegas in 2015.
Now, did you actually wrestle any matches against the Island Championships?
Yeah, no. So the Island Championships, it was a full bracket. Went through an 8-man bracket to get to the finals, and then had a decently tough guy in the finals. He was a B2 All-American.
Oh, okay. So but you did.
Yeah.
But you ended up winning that. You won the whole thing. And you went to the Olympic qualifiers, and how did you do then?
Won the qualifiers, went through, and I felt like I had a decent showing at the World Championships. I went 1-1. Didn't get carried through the bracket to the WrestleBacks, but that was okay. Unfortunately, the Olympic Committee didn't quite agree with my Samoan heritage quite as much as the World Championship Committee did. They said I was going to have to sit out another 6 years. So that effectively ended that run.
Well, because when you look at you, your blonde hair, blue eyes, you don't look Samoan at all. So were people like laughing when you were representing America Samoa?
You know what? They didn't understand. I had a lot of Samoan in my heart. You know, maybe a few tattoos would have helped. Spray tan gun definitely would have helped. But besides that, you know, they weren't the smallest girls I'd ever dated. Definitely have done better, but it was a good time. You know, I really enjoy the island, and I still help out as much as I can with them. It's a great, we still got the program going. So I think there's some net positivity that came from the whole ordeal.
Now, when I met you in Arizona, you were kind of running things. I didn't believe it. But then you somehow got into some kind of business where you were like a billionaire in college. Like, what were you doing? Like, what the hell was going on?
Well, so, you know, it was just kind of, kind of like what's going on with this podcast transition. That's when all the affiliate marketing first started taking off with a lot of the pay-per-click advertising.
Yeah.
And a lot, you know, and a lot of these click funnels and whatnot, kind of like, the Idaho guy, Richard Brunson, was doing. We didn't hit a home run, but we made it to second or third base, me and a couple fraternity buddies. And we just hit every bad decision possible you could. We were buying, you know, renting a Maserati, buying a bar, just hanging out, you know, like I said, Ric Flair in it.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. And like, you were like in your 30s, you had all these young college girls that were like all over you. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And everybody knew you, like you were like the Nino Brown of ASU. I wasn't sure what was going on, but it seemed like it was a lot of fun. So you were making millions of dollars in college doing the click ads?
Pretty much just doing click funnels. By that point, I kind of transitioned basically to actually we were running a lot of our eBay stores with our comic book shop, and you know, mainly just working with the bar business and the tool company. But you know, my parents were always worried about this, saying, "Don't drop out, don't drop out." And I'm like, "Mom, Dad, have you seen the talent on this campus? I'm not going anywhere.
Right?
I'll stay here for 15 years if I can."
So then eventually you've been here for 16 semesters.
Time to go, sir.
16 semesters in college, making millions, losing millions. You end up in Florida. What were you doing in Florida?
Things kind of ran their course to where the bar wound up getting sold with eminent domain. They're redeveloping the block. So I came back home to Florida. I bought a house two doors down from Grandma. And I'm out here right now with took a position down by the Space Coast working with a major contracting company and a lot of the government agencies like the Housing Authority and SpaceX and NASA. Doing a lot of the hurricane recovery.
Oh, that's nice.
So been busy with that.
But you're training.
Actually,
why you're on the podcast, because you hit me up and said you're in doing this 2008 No Holds Barred Catch Wrestling World Championship, which is July 14th. It's going to be in Hamilton Township, New Jersey. And you're in there. Your first match is against Nicholas Cagia. Brendan Ruiz is fighting wrestling Ayman Nazar. Josh Barnett is in the other bracket. He's taking on Chris Crozon, and then Curran Jacob is taking on Johnny Buck. What is this? Have you been training for it? Talk to me about this.
Yeah, so basically, you know, they got together, and it reminds me a lot of, you know, everyone's talking about what would this McGregor-Mayweather fight look like if they're in the 4-ounce gloves, you know? We saw that McGregor did pretty good against Mayweather. You know, you can question whether he got carried or not, but he's wearing 16-ounce gloves. He was fighting under, you know, he was fighting under the modern-day rules. What would a bare-knuckle fight look like? You know, maybe we could, you know, McGregor has a little gypsy in him. What would it look like to see these guys wrestle under the original 1908 pro wrestling rules? So they took the rule book from Farmer Burns and George Hackenschmidt, 100,000 people in Central Park, and we're kind of just doing it all over again. And I'll tell you, you know, when the phone rings and they offer you a world title shot, and they ask you, are you ready? Have you been training? I might have been sitting on the couch. I might not have. Doesn't matter. The answer is yes. I've been in the gym twice a day for the last 2 months. I'm ready to go to the promoter.
Right.
You know, when history beckons, you answer. So luckily, you know, I was able to put together a camp very quickly. But This is a tough tournament. It's 3 5-minute rounds, and there's no points. It's either a 3-second pin or a submission. Now, that 3-second pin means you can't lay on your back and just hope that the guy gets tired from dry humping you and eventually falls into your triangle. Right. You actually got to work from bottom. And then, you know, the same thing with on top. You got to go for it. You got to go. You can waste all the energy you want trying to take the guy down, but if you're not planning on finishing from there, what was the point? So,
but do you do any catch wrestling?
Yeah. So I had a solid catch wrestling foundation. Worked with some top guys in the past. Wade Chalice was actually one of our high school coaches, inventor of the. Everybody's been, I think, a victim of it from a high school wrestling coach their first week. The splatel, or yeah. The banana split, as some people call it.
Yeah.
So it kind of was, I call it brought up in the darkness, brought up in pain. Then always kind of favored a lot of the leg locks and the knee bars. Dean Lister, you know, kind of would always, Don in San Diego would always kind of go towards that, not in the IBJJF canon, you know, dark side of techniques. But then once it went into four-long catch, it's been fun. It's just going to get to use a lot. The game changes a lot when you really open up your technique with neck cranks and spine cranks and some of these other additional moves.
But what belt are you in jiu-jitsu?
Right now, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I'm a brown belt with one stripe on it.
Oh, wow. Under who?
I've been doing it for 15 years.
Under who?
Got my brown belt under Tiago Jimenez. That's at De La Riva School with Seth Petruzzelli and Mike Lee in the jungle.
Oh, wow. Wow, those are good guys.
Yep.
So now, but I mean, no disrespect, but Josh Barnett is world, I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, he's one of the best in the world. I mean, Dean Lister, right? Didn't he like tapped Dean Lister. How are you going to do against
Josh? He caught him in a headlock.
How are you going to do against Josh Barnett?
You know, going to be taking this one match at a time, but I think the real question you'll be asking me, Adam, is how's Josh Barnett going to deal with me? He's got to walk out there and shake hands with the 290 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. I'm coming back from Florida, you know. I'm ready to go. He's been having all these other things distracting him, you know, on the sideline, dealing with USADA trying to railroad him.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one who's been jet flying, doing all the international, doing all his international clinics and whatnot. I've been in the gym focusing and grinding.
But what's your record in catch wrestling?
I've had a great camp put together. He's got to get my shoulders on the mat. Now, that goes back to Greco-Roman. You know, he had some success against a 220-pounder like Randy Couture, but now he's got 290 pounds of a elite Greco wrestler to tie up with.
But what's your record in catch wrestling?
5-0.
5-0,
I've had
okay.
Five actual what I would consider to be catch matches.
Nice, okay. Now, who's this Nicholas Caggia, the guy you're going to get in the first place? He has, looking at his picture, he has 6 medals around his neck.
You know what? He's what I consider to be the ghost of Christmas future if I don't clean up my diet and make a little better health decisions down the road.
I don't understand this.
He's about 340-pound old horse from New Jersey with a big old belly that he'll put it on you and crush you if you're not ready for it.
Right.
He actually has a pretty notorious win over Matt Mitrione where Matt got held down and couldn't do anything about it in a grappler's quest and was upset to lose the decision. And, you know, I was watching the video and I had a post on there to Mitrione and I'm like, buddy, if we were going to have to charge somebody with rape, Nick would be leaving the arena in handcuffs and you'd be a part of the Me Too movement. You lost.
Wow.
You know, so Nick's a tough guy. He's been competing on the East Coast, real strong old school wrestling base. Knows his position well. Probably forgot more technique than most people have ever learned. Just gonna have to put the old line to sleep right off the bat. And then after that, you turn around and you got the 3-time world champ, you know, Brandon Ruiz or Nazir coming right at you.
Yeah, who are these guys?
Brandon Ruiz, you know, he's the brother with Justin Ruiz, former world medalist. He's a Mark Schultz, Brigham Young product, Pedro Sauer black belt, wow. 3-time Team USA world champion for grappling. He's a tough guy, and I'll be frank, you know, it's one of those deals where coming through the Sunkist system, he was the guy who would beat you up when you're a 17, 18-year-old trying to break into the Greco ranks. So I'm looking forward to trying to beat up the old man.
And now who's Amin Nazar?
It's just one of these, it's one of these Russians where he's kind of jumped around from country to country. I guess they got a UK passport tag on him for this event. He's a tough Sambo guy. Won a lot of international events on the Eastern European ADCC scene. Seems like he's got some fancy ankle locks and whatnot. He can't handle this American toughness. I'm not too worried about it.
And then, real quick, who's Chris Kozan, Curran Jacobs, and Johnny Buck?
Chris Kozan's one of the top products to come out of England, the Wigan School. He's just a classic catch-as-catch-can wrestler, basically from the homeland. He said, if I'm hopping on the plane, if I'm flying across the pond to dance, I want to dance with the top guy first round. So he called out Barnett right off the bat, and I give him a lot of respect for that.
Wow.
Johnny Buck was a SoCon all-star wrestler, and Curran Jacobs was a top Big Ten athlete who trash-talked his way into the bracket. He is a tough Big Ten wrestler. I'm not going to discount that because if you can make it through that grind, you got my respect on some level. But that level ends quickly, you know. If Karen somehow makes it through to the finals, I'm going to show him why there's weight classes.
Of course. Now, but you didn't wrestle in college at all, did you?
So I did wrestle for half the season my freshman year. I got my LCL popped out. We got me back healthy again. I won the University Nationals for Greco-Roman wrestling.
Wow.
And did the World Team Trials and the Olympic Trials in 08 for Team USA.
Wow.
But we just had a lot of mayhem going on during that time period.
Of course.
You know, we had a revolving door of assistant coaches. There was just one week we had a program, the next week they're dropping.
And it was the first time you ever got laid, right? It was in college, so you couldn't get, pass that up.
You know, that I will say this, you know, that I was a very dedicated wrestler, coming through high school, but, I don't think dedication is really a fair term for it. You know, you never turn down going to a party if you didn't get invited to one.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't have that programming built into my head. You know, that's where a lot of these athletes these days, the college recruits the coaches wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole nowadays, knowing what they know. It is what it is. I think that it's been a long road, and you know we're gonna end where it's supposed to. I got in this for one reason, which was to put that 12 pounds of gold around my waist, and that's what I'm gonna do. July 14th, Saturday night in Hamilton, New Jersey.
No, it's no holds barred catch wrestling. So is there punches in this or no?
No punches. It's just literally, it's like an Iditarod. We're going to have 3 5-minute rounds with an unlimited overtime, and it's 2 out of 3. Either pin your opponent for 3 seconds or rip a limb or break their neck or choke them out.
Now, can you watch this online?
Do what you got to do, but make that guy quit.
Can I watch this online?
So they're working out what's going to be the streaming service with that. They're still trying to. I think they're still in talks with possibly Flow.
Right.
I'm hoping either YouTube or Twitch try to get it open to the masses a little bit more.
Yep.
So I'll keep you updated with it. So hopefully we can get you to tweet that out to your to the MMA Roasted
right. fan base. It's July 14th. You can get tickets at SnakePitUSA.com. I can't wait for this. Josh Barnett and Kenny Lester on opposing sides of the bracket. Now it's all one night, right? So if you win, you got to win.
It's all one night.
All one night.
Gotta go through these three guys. I mean, you got to favor a Sun Devil in these conditions, though. You know, I'm bringing it back. I got my black trunks ready to go. I got my I'm gonna have my chest hair glistening. You know, Don Fry, Dan Severn. I'm working on the mustache.
Love it.
I'm coming out, you know, fully prepared.
Do you win any money if you win this?
Yeah. So they got some prize money set up. There's a little bit of a NDA involved with that. Not sure if everybody got quite the same deal, but this is the pro wrestling business now. You know, this isn't amateur wrestling. We're all here as workers. So, but it's gonna be I want to make sure everyone knows this is a real shoot. This is not a worked match. Nobody's taking dives. The only dive you're going to see is when someone's diving to get off the mat if I get a hold of their ankle.
Love it. Love it. Well, Kenny, good luck, man. Good luck.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Adam. You take care, buddy.
No problem. Take care.
All right.
Well, listen, thank you, Kenny Lester, and thank you, Heather, for being on the podcast today. Check it out next Friday and Saturday. That's the 13th and the 14th. I will be in Ventura Harbor at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club. Actually, next Thursday night, I'm at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. Hit me up if you want to come. Next, then Wednesday the 18th, all the way to Saturday the 21st, I'm in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And then I'm taking August off. Well, I'm going to be local because I'm going to be with a baby, but Friday, August 31st, and Saturday, September 1st, I'm in Springfield, Missouri at the Blue Room Comedy Club. Then I'm at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga. That's Thursday, September 6th, all the way to Saturday the 8th. And then I'm with Jeremy Piven, Thursday the 20th and Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd in Rochester, New York. Then if you live in Vancouver, I will be at the Laugh Lines Comedy Club in New Westminster in British Columbia. That's Friday the 28th and Saturday the 29th. Also, if you shop on Amazon, if you use Amazon, go to adamhunter.com first, click on the Amazon link, and then you order whatever you want because I make some money and you're happy and everyone's happy. Also, if you live in Iowa, in Des Moines, October 4th, through the 6th, I'm headlining the Funny Moan in Des Moines. Well, thank you for checking out the podcast. I hope you guys all have a great week and a great life. Bye bye. Traps on some traps, traps on some trap, don't some trap. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Та дэс дуутан дөрвөлэн мөрөлэн.